In Zephaniah chapter 2, reading from verse 4 through verse 7, verses 4 through verse 7, "For Gaza shall be forsaken, Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday. Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Kerethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. The seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity." Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight for thy guidance and thy blessings upon the reading of thy word. And Lord, we do pray tonight that you'll help us as we continue to work our way through this book. Lord, we pray that we'd be blessed from it. And you've told us in the New Testament that the Old Testament is written for our learning and our hope. And Lord, we just pray tonight that we'll receive something from this text that be a help to us and be a blessing to us in our Christian life. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is our second message in this chapter, and we're going to title this Judgment of the Philistines. Now, that word is pronounced a couple of different ways, but that's the way I've always pronounced it. And so, last week we were in verse 1, 2, and 3. And we've seen in these verses that there was a call to repentance. He said in verse 1, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired." This Jerusalem had become a sinful nation. And then we also seen not only the fierce anger in the day of the Lord in verse 2, as we've studied in chapter 1, but we found out in verse 3 last week that he calls upon his people to seek him, and they're referred to as the meek of the earth, and which had wrought his judgment. And he calls upon the meek to seek meekness, and he's called upon the righteous to seek righteousness. And he said in verse 3 that they would be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And God has always preserved his people. God protected Noah in his days on the ark while the world was being destroyed. God protected Lot as he came out of Sodom and destroyed a few cities there at that time. And all through the scriptures, we see this in 586 B.C. As Jerusalem and Judah was being overrun by the Babylonians, there was a remnant that were either left in the land or carried into captivity and were allowed to come back later. And so this is the theme of the Lord, not only throughout biblical history, but also in church history as well. Now this evening, in the verses we just read, these verses begin to show judgment on the surrounding nations. And as a matter of fact, we would, if you put a circle around Jerusalem, if you looked at a map and drew a circle around Jerusalem and Judah, you would see these nations. And we find here that God not only judged his covenant people, but he judged Gentile nations that were also sinful and had rebelled against him. And what we see here and what we'll be looking at in the weeks to come is that in verse 4 through 7, he looks toward the west, and that is Canaan, the land of the Philistines, and their cities. Then in verses 8 through 11, he looks toward the east, and it's Moab and Ammon here in this passage. And then in verse 12, there's a look toward the south, Ethiopia. And it says in verse 12, ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. And then in verses 13 through 15, he looks toward the north, and we see the destruction of Assyria with Nineveh as its capital. Notice with me in verse 13, and he shall stretch out his arm against the north, destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. Now you'll notice that as you look in verse 12, the Lord said, I will slay Ethiopian by my sword. Of course, the Lord used other nations and armies, but he said it was his sword. And then in verse 13, he said that he would stretch out his hand against the north, that is Assyria, and Nineveh as the capital city. So what we have here in this chapter, we have the Lord destroying and judging and chastening nations all the way around Jerusalem and Judah, from the north, the south, the east, and west. And then when we get into chapter 3, he turns his attention back unto Jerusalem and Judah again, because in chapter 3 and verse 1, he mentions the city. Well, notice now in our text tonight, and I'm not going to run too many references because I'll give you some. We may look at a few. But in each one of these, whether it be the Philistines or Moab and Ammon, the Ethiopia or Syria, we find that there's a multitude of scripture in the Old Testament here that speak of the rise of these nations and also the destruction of these nations as well. Now, in verses 4 through 7, we have the prophecy against the Philistines and their particular cities. There basically, as we read through the scripture, there's basically five cities that are mentioned with the Philistines, and four of them is mentioned in verse 4. The only city that is not mentioned here is Gath, and some believe that it's not in this list here because that has already been conquered many times by the Jews and at this present time under Jewish domination. And of course, we will read battles with the Philistines and even, the city of Gath, in Chronicles and Jeremiah and so forth. And so, again, I don't know why it's not listed here, but many believe that that is the reason. Now, notice there are four cities that are listed here, cities of the Philistines on the coast. These are seacoast cities. And notice with me as we come back to verse 4. Now, if you want a couple of references just in general that would cover most of these cities, the book of Jeremiah in chapter 47, the entire chapter is dealing with the judgment of the Philistines, and it mentions these cities in particular. And you'd find this again in Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 17 and 18. Now let's look at this and notice he begins with the word for. In other words, these did not seek the Lord as Jerusalem and Judah, and they will also be judged as Judah and Jerusalem. And again, one other reference on this would be in Jeremiah 25, verses 15 through 27. Not only is Jerusalem being judged in the beginning of that chapter, but many other nations are to be judged by the Lord. He says here in verse 4, he said, for Gaza shall be forsaken. That is, shall be abandoned, laid waste, one time by the Egyptians, and then, according to this text, would be by the Babylonians. Now, Gaza is mentioned in Acts chapter 8 in verse 26. It's called a desert in that particular passage. Jews, I believe, living in the land there at that time. We hear a lot today about the Gaza Strip. We find that the history of Gaza will span back about 4,000 years. And so that that area has been around for a long time. Well, notice he also says in verse 4, he says, in Ashkelon, he says it would become a desolation. And that, again, was about 10 miles from Gaza. These are on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and up and down the coast. And this, I believe that this city here, I believe that they have found the ancient ruins of this city that can be visited. Another city that is mentioned here is, and says, and they shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday. And Ashdod is a city that I believe it exists to this day. And when he says at noonday, it implies suddenly and in broad daylight with ease. In other words, it was easy to take this city. Again, this is one of the city of the Philistines. And I'll give you a few verses in a moment that kind of list all of these together. Some of those verses I already gave you, we'll list them in that way. But anyway, this city exists. You can write down Isaiah 20 and verse 1. And then the other city that is listed here in verse 4 is Ekron, and it says it shall be rooted up. In other words, it'd be uprooted as a tree uprooted and would wither and perish away. So here's four cities, and again, there are five total that are mentioned in the book of Judges, and I think Joshua. And the five lords, five cities and communities, and here's four. And again, there are those that believe that the reason Gath is not mentioned here is because that it already been under domination of the Jewish people. Now notice with me as we come into verse 5. He says here in verse 5, he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the sea coast. We're talking about countries or cities, again, on the Mediterranean coast, probably from Egypt all the way up to Joppa or Gaza. Notice he also mentions here the Kerethites or Cherokites, and he said here, and by the way, these are mentioned also in other places in scriptures, like in Ezekiel 25:16. There are people that were occupying the southern coast of the Philistines who were, many believe they were immigrants from Crete. I don't know that for sure, but there are those who believe that. But notice he says here in this passage, he not only mentions them, but he says the word of the Lord is against you. In other words, against these cities, against Canaan, verse 5, the land of the Philistines. In other words, the word of the Lord is against you. Notice back just a few books to Amos chapter 5, and notice here. When we read in the scripture and we see that the Lord is against someone, we find that they are guilty before the Lord and they cannot escape. When we read in Amos chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, he says here, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And if any man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? In other words, you can't flee, can't run, can't get away from the Lord when he says that his word is against you. In verse 5 again of Zephaniah chapter 2, he mentions here, after saying the word of the Lord is against you, he says, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. Now you can write down Joshua chapter 13, verses 1, 2, and 3, as the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, the promised land. It's called here the land of the Philistines. They occupied the southwest of Canaan, which originally belonged to the Canaanites and was later given by God to the children of Israel. And it's the people of the sea. They're up and down the sea coast. And notice he said, the word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant. Now, I want to give you just a few passages on the Philistines. There's so many places. I'm going to ask you to turn to Exodus chapter 13, and you can write down Genesis 21, 32 through 34. And again, there's a multitude of scripture. But the one in Genesis that you're just jotting down, we're not turning to that. We find that the Philistines date all the way back to Abraham. We're talking about 2000 B.C. And so we're talking about 4,000 years of history if we count it from right now. Notice with me in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, I want you to see that when Israel came out of Egypt, the Philistines were spread out among the coastal strip. And he says here in chapter 13 and in verse 17, he said, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So they were in existence when Israel came out of Egypt. Notice with me in Judges, I'm reading in the book of Judges, and we're going to chapter 3, Judges chapter 3. They were never really completely kicked out of the land that was given to the children of Israel. If you read through Judges chapter 1 and chapter 2, you'll find that the children of Israel never really got all the people out of the land. And it says here in verse 1 of Judges chapter 3, in verse 1, and I'm reading this to just show that they were in the land, they all were not put out of the land, and they became enemies of God's people. He said in verse 1, now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Verse 3, namely five lords of the Philistines. That's sort of what we've been talking about in Zephaniah. There were total of five cities. Now he mentions some other things in this passage, the Zidonians and so forth, and their Baal worship, but I just wanted to point this out here in this passage. And as you read through the book of Judges, you would find in places, I'll just give an example, in chapter 10, you'd find in chapter 10, verses 6, you'll find here that they became Israel's enemies. And we see in verse 6 the God of the Philistines, as well as Balaam and Ashtaroth, the God of Assyria, the God of Zidon, and the God of Moab. We see here the gods of the Philistines. And we would notice again in verse 7 through 11 in this particular passage. In chapter 13 and in verse 1, it says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So the Lord actually chastened them with these people. And we would see in chapter 16, verse 27, chapter 16, verse 27 through 30. And this is the story where Samson dies but takes out a multitude of the Philistines. It says here, reading from verse 27, "Now the house is full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport." And you know, they had blinded him, and they were what they were doing at this time. "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the death which he slew at his, the dead rather, which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." So we see these people throughout the entire Old Testament, from Genesis throughout all the way into the book of Jeremiah, the minor prophets. And so this is one of the reasons that the Lord used verses 4 through 7 just to talk about them and their cities and the fact that they would be destroyed. They'd be destroyed by the Babylonians. We find again, as we read, we see in 1 Samuel 4 that the ark was captured by them. But we also find in 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 through 10, we see the story of David and Goliath. And we find that Goliath was a giant, but he was of Gath. He was one of the Philistines. The Philistines had come out against the children of Israel, intimidating them, because there were, so there were the constant battles and wars with them. Well, go back with me, please, to Zephaniah. And reading now from verse 6. And I believe that Palestine, that we know of today, derived its name from the Philistines. Talk about the Palestinians. And so I believe that's the case. And you, if you want, had a desire to do some research on that. I've not really done a lot of research on that. I have studied about the Palestinians and the conflict that takes place there between the Israelites and the Palestinians. And also have studied what the Jews did to the Palestinians in 1948, 1949, and the atrocities that took place there, with literally hundreds and thousands of them slaughtered in order to take their land. Notice with me as we come back here to chapter 2. You don't hear much about that, do you? How many has ever heard that story? You don't hear much about that. Only all you hear is the other side, because our country is filled with Christian Zionism. And you know that I'm not against the Jews. I'm not against anyone. But facts are facts. And when I preached Sunday about the, you know, when we talked about the olive tree, we seen clearly that it is the believing Jews, those who are followers of Messiah, that were left as natural branches in the good olive tree. And we know that many were broken out. Well, notice as we come to verse 6, he said, "And the sea coast." And again, here he said, "The sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for the flock." In other words, it shall become the dwellings of the newcomers, those that overtake. And of course, we're going to see in a moment, verse 7, he talks about the remnant. But they're going to be those that are going to take over the dwellings, the newcomers that come in. They'll take over the dwellings of... let me read the whole verse. He said, "And the sea coast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds of the flock. In other words, they would be nomad shepherds and flocks that would inhabit this place after many of those who dwelt there would either be destroyed or be carried into captivity. And notice what he says in verse 7, and the coast shall be for the remnant. Now he comes back to the true believers in Jerusalem and Judah. And he said, the coast shall be for the remnant. And this remnant here would probably be the Jews left after the invasion. They were some that were left. Jeremiah was one of them. And it probably refers to the Jews returning from captivity, because as we read on, he says here, and the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah, and they shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. Notice, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. To turn away their captivity, you can write down Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 20. That subject will come up again. And you can also jot down Jeremiah chapter 29 and in verse 14. Jeremiah 29 and in verse 14, they have the promise in this passage of returning, because he speaks of the 70 years captivity, when it will be accomplished in Jeremiah 29:10. And he said, I will visit you. Now I want to talk to you just for a moment. We've looked at it before, but that word visit. In Jeremiah 29:10, he says, after the 70 years, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. And in verse 14, he says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So when we look at verse 7, he speaks of the remnant, and we're going to see this again in chapter 3. So the remnant, there were a few Jews left in the land, like Jeremiah and others. Many were carried into captivity. And even Ezekiel was carried into captivity, Daniel and so forth. And so they would come back after 70 years, and there would be some of them that would inhabit some of these areas that used to belong to the Philistines, is what he's saying in this passage. In other words, their flocks and the shepherds would be in these places at this time. Let's take this word and turn with me, please, to the New Testament, and notice with me in the book of Luke in chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, now we've just seen the word visit in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. We also find this word visit in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1, because the Lord had made a promise to Sarah that she would have a child and that he would return in the following year. And it uses the word visit. When he visited Sarah, we find that she conceived and then bare a son. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 31, when Israel was down in Egypt, God visited them. And when he visited them, he sent Moses to deliver them out. Well, notice how this word is used also a few times in the New Testament. We'll only look at one place here. But notice in the book of Luke, I'm reading in chapter 1. You can turn loose, by the way, of Zephaniah. I'm going to begin reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. This is upon the birth of John the Baptist, and this is his father. And it says in verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. In other words, he's visiting this nation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. and hath raised up a horn, that is a king, one of authority, has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which hath been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, referring now to John, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord, that is, Jesus, to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. That word is used twice in our text. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And so we see again, as we look into the text of Zephaniah, any time that God speaks of judgment and chastisement, or his anger, whatever, you'll always find the Lord being kind and merciful. Now, he's kind and merciful to all in that he's long-suffering. He would beg his people to repent. He would beg the nations to repent. But he's, even when he judges them, he's kind and merciful to his people. He has always been this way. From the Garden of Eden, and especially in the days of Noah, but he's like that to this day. Would you stand with me, please? Now, Heavenly Father, we thank thee this day for thy love and for thy mercy and thy kindness. Lord, we thank thee for the seriousness that we see in thy word. And Lord, we pray that we will learn from this, that we will receive hope and joy, and Lord, in steadfastness as we look at your truths here in the Old Testament. And Father, we pray that you would bless the remaining of this service, the singing, and Lord, also the prayer requests that will be lifted up. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.